Hello and welcome to another Takeover episode of It's Okay to Feel, a NAMI OC podcast. I'm your Takeover host for today, Asha Bhattacharya. This unique Takeover episode is a feature of the NAMI OC Media Masterclass, which teaches teens and young adults ages 16 through 24 the basics of podcasting and growing our social media presence. Takeover episodes feature Media Masterclass students like myself who want to start their own podcast. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Asha Bhattacharya. I have been volunteering with NAMI Orange County since I was 15. You know, this organization means a lot to me, as I will be talking about later on in this podcast, really the significance that NAMI Orange County has had in my life and how it's helped me and how I've used it to help other people. Before we jump into this podcast, where I will be talking all about my story with mental health, I first want to remind you that It's Okay to Feel is for informational, educational, and/or entertainment purposes only, and is not a substitute for medical or psychiatric advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It's Okay to Feel is funded by the Orange County Healthcare Agency, Behavioral Health Services, Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. So I have been an anxious person pretty much all my life. I remember being probably 4 or 5 years old, and it was, you know, school had already ended. I was in a childcare program at the time, and I was sitting in the sandbox looking at the street that was right across from the daycare center that I was at, thinking about all the ways that something terrible could have happened to my mom, and that's why she's late to pick me up. And I was probably 4 years old at the time. And I would just be thinking of all of these different scenarios. My heart was racing, my mind was racing. And I thought that that was a very normal thing for a four-year-old to feel. I didn't even know that this way of thinking, of constantly having your thoughts be racing, even if there's no sort of rational reasoning behind it, I didn't know that that was not healthy, you know? So I thought like that my whole life. And it wasn't until I was 15 years old when I realized that I had a problem. It was, you know, the first day of sophomore year of high school, and I had, you know, gone throughout the day, and I was getting ready for bed that night when I had my first anxiety attack, and it was very physical. I sort of always thought that if I was feeling anxious or depressed or whatever it is, that involves mental health and mental illness, it would be very mental, right? But, and it is, but for me, I didn't even know I had a problem until it became very physical. So my chest started paining. I mean, it was the worst pain. It was like an elephant was sitting on my chest and I couldn't breathe. And I remember trying to get a breath in, but I just couldn't. And if anybody listening has ever suffered from an anxiety or a panic attack before, you probably know the feeling, but I was convinced I was having a heart attack. I mean, I was convinced that there was something very physically wrong with me. So I told my parents, I made them take me to the ER, you know, and the doctors did a ton of tests on me, the whole nine yards, and they told me, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. I think you're having an anxiety attack. And I talk about this a little bit in another episode that I'm on about how difficult it was for me to accept that I had anxiety. When the doctors told me that I had anxiety, I almost went, ew, like, don't joke with me. That's disgusting. Anxiety is for weak people. Depression is for weak people. If somebody is anxious, they'll just tell themselves, hey, stop being anxious. Hey, stop being depressed. I thought it was that easy, right? And that's because I myself had a stigma surrounding mental illness. So it's very complicated. It was hard for me to accept that what I was going through was something very mental, but that it was manifesting itself in a very physical way. And all of my doctors were like, you need to see a therapist. You need to, you know, talk to somebody about your problems and then you'll start feeling better physically. And when I say I didn't feel good physically, I mean it. Like it's kind of crazy to think about, but every day in the year 2016, I had an anxiety attack. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Every day I would go to school and I would sit there feeling like I could not breathe, or my stomach would be in knots and I would be so nauseous. And the most confusing thing about this was that I didn't know why. Because again, I thought if I was feeling anxious, then I would be able to pinpoint what is making me anxious. But as I said earlier, I had been living this way my entire life. So, you know, when you're young, you, from the time you're 5 years old and you're in kindergarten, you go to a physical education class and they teach you the benefits of exercising and how to keep your body physically in shape. They teach you about the proper foods that you should be eating. You know, from the time you're 5 years old, I mean, from the time you enter the public school system, you are conditioned to be aware of your physical health. But there is no such thing for your mental health. So I was sitting there 15 years old in high school being like, what is wrong with me? If I'm anxious, why am I anxious? What even is anxiety? What is anxiety? I had no idea because nobody had ever talked about it. So it was extremely confusing. It's like going to the doctor and being diagnosed with something, but nobody knows what it is. I almost imagine it's how somebody with the first case of coronavirus felt. It's like, gosh, what is this? What do we do about it? You know what I mean? That's how it felt. And so I finally said, all right, I'll go see a therapist. And it was through therapy that I was able to really dive deep and explore what was going on in my life. And I'll share a little bit about that because I think it could help some of you that are listening. Essentially, I had a lot of struggles going on, mainly with my identity. I have, you know, an amazing family, but I think growing up, I felt very confused because I had a lot of pressure that I sort of put on myself. I have a very intelligent, amazing sister who went to an Ivy League school. And so I felt, okay, in order for me to feel good enough, I should probably also go to an Ivy League school, because when we would go to family functions, that's what everybody would talk about, you know, oh, here's Asha. Okay, but how's her sister doing at this great, amazing school? So I thought, okay, maybe that's what I should do too. Then another layer to that was that I felt very different from the people around me. In my school, I was the only one that looked like me. I'm from an Indian family. My parents both grew up in India. They came here, you know, mom got her PhD, got her citizenship, same with my dad. And I just felt very confused because I was and am an American at heart. I speak the American language, eat the American food, listen to the American music. I identify totally with the American culture. But at the same time, it was like, where does my Indian heritage fit into this? And it was a bit confusing, you know, at school and with my friends being the only one that had that going on. So it was a bit of a confusing time for me. And I sort of suppressed that feeling of being different. I tried not to think about it. Growing up, I actually wanted so badly to be white. I would have fantasies about being white. I mean, I didn't even know that this was not healthy. I really didn't know. And so I suppressed it and I suppressed it until it all sort of came out when I was 15 and I had anxiety attacks every day. And that's probably a huge lesson that I've learned with mental health, is that you have to take the time to feel your feelings, which is the whole point of this entire podcast. It's okay to feel. And I suppressed my emotions and my feelings of not being good enough and not knowing who I was. I suppressed it for so long until it's like a boiling pot, right? You reach a point where the pot just can't take it anymore and all of the water just explodes and it's like a volcano. And that's not just what happened with me, but it's what happens with so many of us when we just can't suppress our feelings anymore. So I went to therapy, and, you know, therapy, I recommend therapy for everybody. Even if you don't have something, you know, a diagnosable mental illness, I think therapy is like, it's like one of the best kept secrets, because it's never a bad time to work on yourself. And it's never a bad time to learn more about yourself. And therapy isn't just reserved for people who have gone through traumatic things or who are struggling with the mental illness. Therapy is for anybody and everybody that feels like they can improve on their own self. And I recommend it for everybody. I mean, you can even, you know, amazing athletes like Michael Phelps, LeBron James, they've talked about how things like therapy have actually helped them tremendously in their performance. So, you know, when you take the time to work on yourself mentally and emotionally, you will be shocked at how fixing yourself on the inside will manifest itself on the outside and how incredible that will make of a difference in your life. So I went to therapy, and the interesting thing with therapy is it's not like you can take this pill and feel better in 2 days. Therapy is something where you work with somebody and you dive really deep into your past and about your feelings and your emotions. And that's not something that can be done in a day or in a week or in a month or in a few months. Therapy is something for me personally, it took about a year until I really could look back and say, wow, that's the difference. And the reason why is because when you are working with your emotions, I always say, you know, if it took me 15 plus years of me thinking a certain way to get me to this point, it's going to take a little bit of time for me to undo that pattern of thinking and for me to undo that emotional trauma that has happened. So that's another thing with mental health, is there is no quick fix. You can't just go to a therapy session and boom, your life is magically changed. You're going to need to go to therapy for a little while. And sometimes therapy can feel really uncomfortable. It's almost like throwing up. In the process, you feel really gross when you're throwing up, but afterwards it's like, oh, I feel better. So therapy is kind of like that, because you're going back and you're reliving some hard experience and you're going through some tough moments with your therapist, and it's with time, honestly. Like I said, it took me about a year to be like, wow, now I understand. Now all the pieces are coming back together. So therapy is great. I recommend it for everybody, but I advise you to be very patient with yourself as you go through that process. Also with therapy, I always joke that finding the right therapist is kind of like Tinder. You sort of have to keep on swiping until you find the person that works for you, because I've worked with a few different therapists and sometimes the vibe just isn't there. You know, if I'm going to be sharing my deepest, darkest secrets and my emotions, I kind of want to do it with somebody that I feel comfortable with. So don't feel weird if you are working with a therapist and you're like, this just doesn't feel right to me. I don't really connect with this person. That's okay. Take that as a sign that you should be working with a different type of person. And I had to sort of meet different therapists. And then when you find the right therapist, you'll know. Like I said, it's kind of like dating. You'll just know. But you need to sort of move around. Some people find the right therapist immediately. Some people have to try different therapists, maybe 4 or 5 more therapists until they find the right one. But you'll be able to know. A site that I use a lot and that I recommend a lot for friends is psychologytoday.com. You can actually input where you live, input your medical insurance, and it will tell you, the site will give you back a bunch of therapists in your area that you can use that take your insurance. So that's a very helpful thing that you can use if you're looking for a therapist in your area. You can also input the gender of your therapist that you want and this, you know, the specific focus that you want your therapist to have, whether it's anxiety, PTSD, OCD, you can input that into the website as well. So that's what I have to say about therapy. Totally recommend it. Another thing that helped me out was medication. I think it's unfortunate that it's still a little bit taboo to talk about medication. But I always like to equate it to diabetes, right? So if somebody was diabetic, you wouldn't judge them for taking insulin. You would say, okay, their body doesn't produce enough insulin. So yeah, of course they should take insulin. So sometimes if you have anxiety, maybe it's that there isn't enough serotonin in your brain, or I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not going to go into all of the specific chemicals, but there is, you know, a big part of mental illness is, yes, the environment that you're in and the personality that you have and the thoughts that you have, but there is a chemical component to it as well, right? And so I'm not saying that taking a medication is going to fix your problems, because I can, from my own experience, I can tell you that medications did not fix me. But there is some sort of component there, right? Where talk to a psychiatrist, talk to somebody who has that specialty, you know, and can help you see if medication is something that is helpful. And if you ever feel ashamed for it, always remember, If someone was diabetic, you wouldn't judge them for taking insulin. Their body doesn't produce it. So if that's what's going on in my brain, I'm not going to judge myself for it. So that's sort of the process that I had to go through. And even throughout the treatment process, where I was learning how to deal with my anxiety, I still had really, really dark days. I can honestly say that 2016 was the worst year of my life. I'm not kidding when I say I had an anxiety attack every single day. It sort of felt like there was this dark cloud over my head the entire day. I would wake up with it. I would go to school with it. I would come home with it. I would eat dinner with it. I would go to bed with it. There was this dark cloud that followed me everywhere that I went. And even when I was going to therapy, even when I was taking medication, even when I was doing all the things that that help, the process of getting better is not linear. It is not a straight line. You are going to have terrible days and then good days and then bad days. The process of growth is not linear. It's a very squiggly, very just all over the place line. And that's what I went through. And I think a really, you know, something that really helped me in my darkest of days was music, actually. Growing up, my favorite celebrity was Miley Cyrus. I was like a huge Hannah Montana fan. And if you've ever heard the song The Climb, one of the lyrics in her song is, "I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm going to remember the most. I just got to keep going." And I don't know what it is, but that song had come out years before I was going through my anxiety. And for some reason, that line, "I may not know it, but these are the moments I'm going to remember the most. Just got to keep going." That line like stuck in my head that whole year. And what's so funny is now I'm, you know, 6 years removed. I can honestly say that that time of my life where I was so miserable was actually a time in my life that I will never forget. And I'm so grateful for that time in my life because I grew the most uncomfortable stages of your life are the moments that you will remember forever. And you will be grateful for it. And you're not going to know it now, but you will in the future. And if you're listening to this podcast and you just feel a little bit hopeless, I'm here to tell you that one day you're going to look back on this moment and you're going to see the light and you're going to understand why it happened. And I didn't understand back then, but with hindsight, now I can understand. Another good song was Fight Song. You know, "This is my fight song, prove I'm all right song, take back my life song." That was another good one. Katy Perry also had a good one in her song Fireworks. She talks about maybe the reason why all the doors are closed is so that you can open one that leads you down the perfect road. Like a lightning bolt, your heart will explode, and when it's time, you'll know. And I just thought about that. I thought, you know, I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, but one day I will. And that was my saving grace. It really was. That thought that one day it'll get better for me is truly what helped me get better. It helped me wake up the next morning. And gosh, it's emotional to even talk about, but it's true. And so, surely, you know, slowly but surely with time, things got better. And it's interesting. At the time, I thought, this is it. My life is doomed. I feel so miserable every day. But by going to therapy, by taking medication, by working with my beautiful family, I have, you know, a mom and a dad and a sister who are so willing to just sit down and talk with me. And they did. And I have friends that supported me. And then I reached out to NAMI, which is kind of where, you know, this last part of the story, where it all sort of comes together. I told myself when I was in my darkest times, I said, if I'm going to go through this, it's going to be for a purpose. And that purpose is going to be that I'm going to help somebody else, because I don't want them to struggle alone the way that I felt when I was struggling alone. And if I'm going to go through this, it's going to be for a reason, and that reason better be a good reason. And that reason is that I am going to use my story for good. And so that is exactly what I did. What I did was I took my pain and I turned it into something beautiful. And I was watching a TED Talk a few months ago that talked about how some of the most famous art pieces were done by artists who were going through heartbreak. And so they had all of this sort of emotional turmoil that they were going through. And some of the best pieces of art that we have today, whether it be music or whether it be through a painting or a poem, they were produced by somebody that was going through so much pain. And I think that's the beautiful thing about pain, is we can turn it into something that is beautiful. And so that's what I did. And so I joined NAMI and I signed up to be an In Her Own Voice presenter, which allowed me to go all across Orange County talking about my mental health story and just, you know, my story of hope and sharing that with other people. And then I became an Ending the Silence presenter, which allowed me to share the story of suicide prevention with other people, which is, you know, tremendous work to be doing. And then I joined the Miss America program, where I competed in a local Miss America pageant, which is a whole other story in and of itself that I won't get into. But each contestant got to have a platform. So my platform was mental illness awareness and removing the shame from mental illness. And so what I did was I put on my crown, I put on my sash, I put on my makeup, and I went to schools around Orange County and I talked to kids just like me about how they should not feel ashamed for struggling with their mental health. That's what I did. And I can tell you, if I was a 10-year-old girl and this woman with a crown and sash came into my classroom saying, hey, it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling. I've been through it too. And one day you're going to feel better. I would have been like, wow. So even though I didn't have that person for me, I made a commitment to myself to be that person for somebody else. So I volunteered through the Miss America program, promoting mental wellness and removing the shame from mental illness. And now I started my own YouTube channel where I make little videos about self-growth and discovery and little tips and tricks that I've learned in my mental health journey. And, you know, I don't care if one person watches my video or if 1,000 people watch my video, as long as just one person can look at my video and say, you know what? She's been through what I've been through. I think I'm going to choose to stay alive today. That is the reason why I do what I do. I don't care about the number of people. I just want one person, just one. Just making the world 1% better day after day after day. And that's what I want to share with you guys today, is that if you are struggling, please know that I hear you. I've been where you have been. You are not alone. And I want you to know that it is okay to reach out and get the help that you need. And know that one day, even though it seems impossible right now, one day you will reach a point in your life where you can look back and say, I made it through that time in my life. And now I can take that struggle and I can turn it into something beautiful by helping somebody else. Each and every one of you can do that. So that's my story, you guys. I hope that you enjoyed. I hope that you were able to resonate with a little bit of what I said. And keep up the fight. Keep up the fight. Remember Miley Cyrus's song. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember the most. I just gotta keep going. All right, you guys, thank you so much for checking in for this episode of It's Okay to Feel. If you liked the show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find the show, and it helps us to share our message of mental wellness to people in our community. And if you want to hear more of It's Okay to Feel, be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. Thank you, guys. If you want to follow up with me, you can always follow me on social media. My Instagram is Asha_Bhattacharya. So that's Asha_BHATTACHARYA. And you can also follow me on my YouTube channel, where I post tons of videos about personal development and mental wellness. My YouTube channel is my name, Asha Bhattacharya.